The Holy Gospel for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from the seventh and eighth chapters of the Gospel of Luke. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he, Jesus, was declining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had been invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of a woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you do when you love someone? Well, certainly you will tell them. But you will also show it in a variety of ways. You will make commitments, among other things. You will want to serve them and please them. And for a loved one, you will be willing to give up much, maybe even sacrifice. That is the nature of love. Let me ask you, do you love Jesus that much? Well, we have before us in this text an illustration of love. We have two examples here, but only one about which Jesus says, "For she loved much." She loved much. He could not say that about those who feel little or no need of him and what he gives to us. Such a person was a certain Simon, a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were a very select group of Jews at the time, only numbering about 400. They were very pious and devout people, admired by most. They were very concerned about observing every detail of the law of the sacred writings, which we call the Old Testament. And they even tried to practice additional rules and laws that went beyond the scriptures. And some of them believed that if every Israelite could keep the law of God perfectly for just one day, Messiah would come. Well, such a person is Simon. And he was having a dinner. It may even have been in honor of Jesus. We have to say that that certainly showed something on his behalf, because many Pharisees were his enemies. He was not the Messiah that they expected, and he did not hold much regard for some of their laws and ceremonies, and he mingled freely with people who were outcasts. But this certain Simon invited him and was at very least curious about him. He may even have come to believe in him, but he had a lot to learn about love and forgiveness, especially his own need of it. Well, the real test comes in a most surprising and shocking way. During the course of the dinner, the town's disgrace comes in. A woman, she is called a sinner, probably a prostitute, a notorious woman of the streets. Now, it wasn't hard to get access in those days to a gathering because many wealthy people had homes that had open villas or courtyards and people could just sort of come and go. But it was certainly not expected that a person like this would arrive. And she stands behind Jesus. Now, the moral code said it was defiling even to touch such a person. And certainly, you would never share a meal with them or be in their company. So it shocks them all. While Jesus not only seems to allow it, but to approve, she falls down before him and sheds many tears, kissed and anointed his feet with those tears and with precious ointment, and Jesus says nothing. His silence implies consent, agreement, approval, while others considered it shameful and disgusting. Simon has his own thoughts about this. They're not expressed. He's thinking this, that if this man were a prophet, well, then he surely would know what kind of a woman this is. He thought he knew God so well that he could presume to say what God would think and would do and what a true man of God would do. That therein lies the real danger to real love for Jesus, thinking that you don't need it. That an outward veneer of respectability is all that's necessary. Well, surprisingly, Jesus is even somewhat gentle with Simon. He could have reproved him vigorously, as he did Pharisees on other occasions when he called them hypocrites. His sternest words of reproval were reserved for them because they loved a show of outward goodness while some of them preyed upon other people for their own advantage, not unlike even some religious leaders of today. But it seems maybe this Simon was a little different. He was perhaps a bit more like another Pharisee named Nicodemus, who really wanted to know more about Jesus and to learn of him and maybe also to follow him. So Jesus helps him to see how we are all really alike before God and all really in need of his forgiveness and all have real need to love him extravagantly. He says to him, Simon, I have a little something to say to you. And Simon says, let's hear it. And Jesus tells a short story about a man who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, a reasonable sum, a large sum. Another, only 50. And he forgave both of them the debt. And Jesus then directs the question to Simon, which of them will love him more? Well, the answer seems inescapable, but Simon hedges a little bit, and he says, the one, I suppose, for whom he forgave the larger debt. Well, there's no supposing about it. It is really true. Forgiven much means to love much. For she loved much, he says. After all, our debt before God is really all the same. It isn't a matter of how many times you've sinned or even what sins they are or still are. Yes, it is true that some sins have more consequences than others because they affect more people, they cause more disruption and more suffering. Such was the sin of David, as we perhaps know the story. But the guilt is really all the same. And the debt is unpayable by us. The debt to Almighty God is something we could never pay, not in a million years. Because one sin, one evil thought, one wrong deed, one failure to do what is right makes us guilty of all of it. James says in his letter, whoever keeps the whole law of God and yet offends in one point is guilty of all of it. So it is not a numbers game before God. You cannot balance the ledger by doing more good deeds. Apostle Paul said it very clearly, no one will be justified by the deeds of the law. It does not work that way under the justice of God. Now, the Pharisees thought there were two kinds of sinners. There were people who were sinners, but there were the really, really bad sinners. And Simon probably thought of himself as one of the not-so-bad ones. But Jesus shows us how it really is before God. What was Simon's sin? Doing nothing. It wasn't so much what he did, it was what he didn't do. And often that is the case. We call them sins of omission, not doing the things that God requires. And Jesus says repeatedly the things that Simon did not do. Little love, little respect, little honor, little devotion to Jesus. He didn't love much because he didn't feel that he was forgiven very much, if at all. Now this woman truly was a great sinner. That was obvious and it was plain to all. But she was forgiven much and she loved much, even extravagantly, beyond what anybody else showed. And the message of Jesus to her is very clear. Your sins are forgiven. They were canceled. Not just some or partially, but all and completely. Her sins, and he says, which are many. He does not approve of her lifestyle, but they are forgiven. She is freed from them. She loved much, he says. She is not forgiven because of her love. She loved because of his forgiveness. And now she serves him because she loved him, not because she was trying to make points with him. And the same can be true of you and me, because no one has done more for you than Jesus, your Savior and Lord. And he says to you and me, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. He gave his life on the cross for your sins and for mine. Indeed, for the sins of the whole world and to those who come to him, cut to the heart, confessing their sins, not trying to cover them up, he says, your sins are forgiven. There is nothing more liberating and life-giving than those words. In those words, your burden is lifted. There is no further need for you to torture your soul with anxiety over guilt because his blood and righteousness have freed you from that enslavement. The result is love. Now you love him, as she did, because now you need no longer shed tears over your sins and your guilt, but tears of joy before him who accepts you and loves you just as you are. Simon gave little to Jesus because he loved him little, not knowing how great his sin had been or how great the love of Jesus had been for him. But this woman gave richly and without restraint, even being willing to endure the scorn of others, for she loved much. Forgiven much, she loved much. That woman can be you, bowing in respect and devotion before him, and Jesus accepting you as you are and raising you to what he can make of you, loving him richly, who so richly first loved you. And this is all because of what he says to you. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.